Hey guys, this is episode 6 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is the new rebranded Tony SC. Tony, say hello.
Hi, this is a recorded message from Anthony Precourt. No, just kidding. What's up, everybody? We're here crying about Columbus SC's new rebrand.
Yeah. They still are the crew, but it's just that the crew name is no longer included in their official name. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Dynamo no longer are in the worst rebrand conversation anymore. So thank you, Columbus SC.
Nah, it's still in between them and
Chicago Fire
and Montreal. I think Montreal, like, it's not between them three. Like, I didn't think, like, the Dynamo were in that conversation since the rebrand was pretty decent, in my opinion.
Yeah, honestly, it was Montreal butchered, like, the most amazing color scheme and name of a team ever. So I will never forgive him for that.
Yeah, like, and the crest was pretty okay, too. And, like, even though I hate, like, circle crest, I still feel like it did the job, really, and it's way better than what they have right now.
So here, Andres will insert a 10-second sad music in remembrance of Columbus Crew. Yes. Your heads.
Okay, now housekeeping. Okay, housekeeping real quick. So Fox in the Box 12 is already out, so get on it, read my newsletter, subscribe, like, share, make sure your buddies know. And also head up to my blog, ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot. That is the words ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot. That's where my blog's going to be. And all that, my newsletters, pretty much everything that I post is going to be there. And yeah, with that out of the way, let's go ahead and review the Texas Derby, which was another 1-1 draw with Dynamo. And, like, so we never get title drawing, but I feel like this result was pretty, I feel like it was pretty positive compared to previous years in Frisco. I felt like they improved very well, like, over the first half, especially with how Derek Jones played, which we're going to go ahead and talk about a little bit more. And yeah, like, going into this game, like, the starting 11, this was the first time in the season Tab Ramos changed the starting 11. And one of the biggest changes that, like, I felt really impacted the team was getting Tyler Pasher off because of his hip injury. And, like, Tab had to resort to Memo on the right wing. And behind him would have to be – oh, no, wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Memo Rodriguez in front of him, and then Corona behind him. And I feel like it was a pretty interesting combination since Memo already had, like, an experience on the wing, but in this case he also, like, switched around the wings with Fava Pico, like, throughout the game. And I feel like they found, like, the chemistry there is was pretty successful. And yeah, like, just how it helped impact the game, especially how they got to force a handball for the penalty kick.
Yeah, I was there at the game live, you know, reporting live for Noodle Time, drinking a couple beers, possibly. I definitely have to rewatch the highlights right now before the podcast because, I mean, I saw the game in person, first game back in person in a long, long time. And, you know, thankfully all vaccinated and, you know, I was just so happy to finally be at a Dynamo game again. Since I do live in Dallas, it's kind of hard to get to them over there in Houston every now and then. But it was definitely... I was definitely a lot more pleased after I saw the highlights once I got home from the game. I don't know, at the game, you know, obviously just chatting up with friends and family, and you don't get to see as much as the tactical side of the game. But I feel like the Dynamo definitely played it well. The three defensive-minded midfielders definitely helped stymie Dallas, but also I definitely have to say really didn't help us out in the attack, especially in the first half. But, I mean, Derek Jones, you know, I think there's good and bad to take from him there. Obviously, he really broke up a lot of play. And, you know, he's a huge presence there in the midfield. But, yeah, like I said, his distribution and his passing definitely could have cost us, even could have cost us the game there on one of these giveaways he had. I think Jader O'Brien I think was the one that possibly almost scored right off of a giveaway. But, you know, those things happen. But thankfully, worst didn't come to the worst. We got a point out of it. Still missing Tyler Pascher there. We'll see if he comes back for this SKC game. But I bet my money's on him. Maybe not coming back till this weekend. Overall, I mean, what was your immediate thoughts of that 1-1 draw, Andres?
Oh, so in regards to Derrick Jones, he did start his first game with a Dynamo in the Texas Derby. So I felt like he improved very well compared to the first half. Like in the first half, even Tab like acknowledged that he's been giving the ball away a lot, and it's been pretty much contributing to FC Dallas's attack, obviously by accident. But I felt like in the second half he improved very well. He didn't give away the ball that much, and yeah, like I just liked his presence overall, like you mentioned, and just with his 1-1 draw, like going back to like the past 3 or 4 years, like visiting Frisco, like it's been a nightmare, especially around the second half. And like a lot of people, I do understand like a lot of people not being okay with a draw, like since they had like the Dynamo had like a pretty good opportunity to take the win, and which would have been pretty massive. But at the same time, I think that this draw, like for me, it's pretty convincing that the team can like hold up defensively very well, especially since Dallas is like one of the best offensive teams in the league with all the energy they brought in and like the speed they had at the time. And like overall, I'm pretty satisfied with the result. Like obviously everyone wants to win. Like I want them to win all the games, but like this draw was okay in my opinion. And yeah. And
yeah, I mean, it was like, compared to the last season, it's like the defense is substantially better already with Tim Parker in the back. And, you know, we saw Miner come back in for his first full game with the Dynamo this season. And I was even listening to a press conference with a head coach from Dallas, Luchi Gonzalez, saying, I think 2 or 3 times he was like, credit to the Dynamo, the backline organization, and just their overall press like really bothered them, especially in the second half. And I think everybody sees it's a changed team, and you know how it is in MLS. When you lock things down in the back a little bit more, you know, the game's always up for grabs for anybody, kind of as we've seen in this LAFC game that passed, in this FC Dallas game that passed. Our defense is limiting chances, and that's where it comes down to the attack, you know, which, I mean, that's another thing that we can talk about later on. But obviously not an easy task to score against FC Dallas, who always have one of the best defenses in the league. But, you know, we'll see if in the summer transfer window we can hold our breaths and cross our fingers and see if we can maybe bring in another number 10, a striker or something, because I think this team has the attributes to win more games, but it's just lacking in the attacking half. So, hey, at least we're finally getting solidified in the defense, finally, after years of crying. Terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, Marco Maric, I think, has been substantially better this season as well. But, man, that goal he gave up, I mean, you can point fingers and everything, but he definitely could have done better. You know, there's always something that can be done better. But overall, happy with Marco's performance in this game as well.
Oh, yeah. Also, one of the things I wanted to point out was how Pickout and, like, Fafa, I would like to say that him and, like, either Corona and Vera were pretty much substantial to this game. Fafa obviously getting his first goal with the Dynamo after the penalty kick. I feel like it was pretty well taken. And also the fact, like, how Corona and Vera helped stabilize the defense, like, especially in the second half. I feel like it was pretty massive for them. And yeah, also another thing I wanted to bring out was Urruti. And I was at least hoping to see a Ramirez like play in the second half as a striker, but I'm still guessing that Tab is still believing in him, and he's probably still getting used to the system. But at the same time, I was kind of bummed that I didn't get to see Ramirez like in the second half, and or even at least in like the last 4 minutes, and which was pretty annoying. I felt like if he was brought on like a fresh set of legs, I felt like it would have done some damage.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I think we've started to see a trend. Tab really, I think, has this core group of guys, and he's kind of hesitant to go to the bench, and he's not one to beat around the bush. So, you know, I'm interested if somebody kind of will finally ask him that in one of the press conferences. But you know, I think he really believes in a lot in the momentum of the game. But I don't know. I think Ramirez is already half out the door for this summer. Most likely, yeah. There's definitely always MLS teams always trade in strikers around, and I would for sure not be surprised to see him, you know, not just for the Dynamo's sake, but for his sake, you know. I'm sure he wants to be playing, and if it's just not going to work at the Dynamo, then, you know, there needs to be some kind of accord struck there. So the substitutes just in general are very interesting. Mateo Bahamich on the bench for this one, still not appearing. You know, obviously it's a tough to make your debut in a derby, but at least Lassiter, I think, had a much better substitute appearance. I don't know what you guys think, but we definitely benefited from his directness coming in on goal. That FC Dallas defense was pretty gassed at the end, super hot. I mean, it was like 80-something degrees in the game, but, I mean, obviously nobody's used to that right now coming in from the summer, the winter and the spring. But the one guy I was talking about with Andresa, maybe it's overkill that we're talking about him so much early in the season, but is it Darwin Quintero? I don't know if he's cut out for this sub role. I think obviously he makes a much better impact starting a game and, you know, settling in and letting it come around him. But I think from what we saw last season is, you know, teams would double team Darwin, take him out of the game. You know, obviously he's a magician on the ball, but he loses the ball and he's just not the guy that's going to come track back for you and win it back. And that can't happen in TAP system. And just the past two or three games, he's been subbed on at the end, especially this one against FC Dallas. I was really frustrated. Obviously, sometimes he's in a black hole over there by himself, but, man, he just tried to blast it from a random angle once. He just tried to take on the whole defense by himself one time, and I don't know what's going on there either. I see Tab's dilemma with the bench, and I don't know what the solution is.
And, yeah, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about Quintero, like, for the preview for the next game against Kansas City tomorrow. And yeah, like, in this game, I thought, like, he was out of place, really. I feel like he, like you mentioned, like, the sub role, I don't see him fitting very well. Like, obviously, it could be just being early in the season and not him being available to play right away, especially around the preseason. And yeah, he could be still be adjusting, but it's pretty worrying. And him being like the only like designated player on the team, like we expect a lot from him, and just like coming off the bench and not like, at least for now, not being like the same way he was last year, like being like leading the league in assists and just being there for the team. Like, it could be different this year, really. And that's what gets me pretty worried, really. But we'll see, like, if they rotate again for the Kansas City game. Like, I think he will most likely start, but we'll still have to see, really.
Yeah, but I think one of the areas that we wanted to mention here was the fullbacks, you know, in this game. And we can give our predicted starting 11s for this next game coming up. But yeah, Zarek had a tough time against Zarek and even Adam. Really, even Tab mentioned that Adam didn't have the best of games, as everybody could see. And I think this might be a recurring issue for the Dynamo this year. Most teams recognize the holes in defense there. And, I mean, we love Zarek, we love Adam, but sometimes it's just not the best matchups. Zarek isn't the paciest guy anymore, and Adam doesn't have the best defensive presence and positioning. So those 1v1s are huge, and if they're losing them, they're leaving Tim Parker and Minor on an island.
Oh, yeah. Like, I noticed that being an issue on the last game, and it's pretty annoying, especially since that how the first goal came about, really, like on Sarek's side. And yeah, it might be a recurring trend, like, over the course of the season, really. Like, teams just exploiting the any of the wings and just catching either Sarek or Lundy out of position. And
yeah.
And yeah, and just leaving either Parker or whoever's defending next to him, just being pretty much on a tough spot to defend.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we've seen Jose Bizama involved in the bench the past couple of games, free from Matt Jordan's basement. Thanks to us. But if this isn't the season where Jose Bizama proves his place in this team, then I don't think he's here past this season. I don't know how long his contract was for anyways, but if he can't replace I guess, for lack of better terms, aging Zarek Valentin in this lineup, then I don't know if Ozzie Bizam and the Dynamo are going to be working out, you know, but I definitely expect him to be either be starting this game on Wednesday against Kansas City or on Saturday against Colorado. What do you think?
It could be, like, there's a better chance he starts on the game against Kansas City, since I feel like they're going to rest the full-strength squad for the road trip in Colorado.
But, I mean, at the same time, 3 points at home, I think, I know our buddy Victor Avaez over there at the Striker Texas was talking about on their podcast as well. It's really early in the season to talk about playoffs, but it's almost like these games are so crucial, and I think Tab knows it as well. And if we let 3 points go at home right now, things can really snowball with the quality of opponents that we have coming up. So I think 3 points at home are really crucial. But regardless of that, regardless if we're saving our starters for Colorado, I think Bizama starts his game on Wednesday against Kansas City. And the other point about Lundy is that he doesn't really have competition right now at left back. Junkwa is not on the injury report anymore, but from what the pictures I've seen of training, of the full group, I haven't seen him out there, and neither did I see Pastor in the pictures from yesterday. I don't know if we want to look into that too much, but there's not Junkwa there to push him right now, and Jathan Juarez and Kieran Sargent from the academy were not signed yet, who I think both play left back. So maybe that's one to look forward to if an academy signing comes or somewhere else in the league, because I think it's very evident that Adam needs some pressure there. Kind of disappointed that the Dynamo didn't use Tab's resources and sign Chris Gloucester from PSV Eindhoven this summer. I mean, this past window as he went to New York City. That would have been a great young player to bring in to pressure Adam.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We love our young players, especially the Tab connection with the youth national team. I feel like hopefully he can get one of the signings in, especially like around a true fullback, hopefully at some point.
Yeah, we'll keep holding on to our pipe dreams, but let's dream about Wednesday, Andres. What are you feeling for this game?
Oh yeah, let's talk about the next three games: two for the Dynamo, one for the Dash. First we got the Dynamo against Sporting Kansas City tomorrow, Wednesday. Kansas City, they're coming in from beating Austin FC, a comeback 2-1 win. The Dynamo had an additional day of rest compared to Kansas City, but I feel like Kansas City can always do some damage, especially with like Peter Vermees and their established roster. They can get a result on the road if they want, and the Houston can't just be complacent about it. They have to get the 3 points, that they desperately need right now. Coming out of two consecutive draws, and they need wins as soon as possible to get back on the hunt for a playoff spot. Like, even though it's still far away, but still.
Yeah, we gotta keep the pressure. The West is nuts, man. I mean, the East is little league, and the West is the big leagues in my opinion. Because Dynamo have 5 points right now and are 11 out of 13th. You got 5 points in the West, you're sitting pretty in like sixth place or something. In the East, you're sitting pretty up in a higher position. So it's not so much more about thinking about playoffs right now, but I think just keeping pace with the rest of the teams. Because like I said, things can snowball from one loss to the next, you know?
Yeah, I also feel like in this game, both teams are going to rotate since they're coming off weekend games. And they might have to get some time to rest their main starters for like their upcoming games, and we just have to see. Really, I feel like Kansas City can play with a second string squad against the Dynamo, and yeah, like I said, these had to come in and get the 3 points. Like, they can just like keep playing games for draws and just get used to the 1 point at home, which is pretty discouraging, especially for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City, I watched some of that game versus Austin. They were playing over there at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City. And honestly, that Austin, I mean, apart from this, we'll talk about that another episode, but Austin, you know, has been really impressive to start the season. Joshua Wolf really has that team playing with a clear identity and just super, honestly, attractive soccer to watch. But Kansas City was struggling against them. And then if you guys watched the game, if you guys saw the highlights, Alexander Ring from Austin just kind of stupid foul, got himself a red late on, and Kansas comes back to win the game with two goals in the last 8 minutes. So, I mean, that's always something you got to worry about with Dallas. The task is never finished, and we know things can get heated with our good old friends, Zuzi, Roger Espinoza, you know, all these lovely people that have terrorized Dynamo fans for years. And I think my personal favorite, Johnny Russell. I think I'd love to see Tim Parker get a piece of him this coming game. But
yeah,
I mean, like you said, their bench is nuts. Like, just looking at here, that Gadi Kinda, you know, I think he's our DP. I think he scored a good goal last year against Dynamo, Kyrie Shelton. So it's definitely, like you said, we can't be complacent.
Yeah, especially around Pulido. I don't think he might play like on Wednesday, but that's another player to watch, really. Like, he might come off the bench, or he scored some goals against Dynamo already, so
yeah,
they have to watch out for him.
Not the best track record with him so far, but let's give our predicted starting 11s under this. We'll start it off. With me, obviously, I think Marich is still given. It'll be starting. What's your back four first? Give me your back four.
It's kind of I'm still trying to decide, because like the fullbacks might be the same coming in, since they have barely any options. I'm with Junqua not available, so I still don't think it's gonna be starting like for this week, like for Wednesday at least. And,
same back line?
Just like the two fullbacks, and I'm thinking either for Mayor or for Mayor be Simon start over, I'd say Figueroa, and then I'd say Team Parker stays.
For me, I think it's still Lundqvist at left back, obviously. And I think we still see Minor and Tim at center back. I think there's enough recovery time there. I think we see Minor still start. And then I think we see Jose Bizalma at right back for this game against Kansas City. You know, there's always still Boniek as an option at center back too. But Kansas City is definitely one of the bigger aerial teams in the league, with Kyrie Shelton, with Alan Pulido, always a threat off of crosses. So I don't think this is the kind of game we see Boniek at center back, if that is something that happens still in the future. The midfield, assuming we have a midfield three, I think we're still going to go with Vera. I think it could be Vera. I think this one could be really rotated, to be honest. We could see, like, I think Vera starts. I think see Vera, Seren. And maybe, I think you're right about Quintero starting. I'm going to go Vera, Seren, and Quintero this game.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty much convinced that I can like predict a good starting 11 for Saturday, since the game for Wednesday, I feel like they're gonna rotate a lot, and they might have to move like a few pieces to like other positions they might not be accustomed with, but like they can play it as a secondary position, since the Dynamo are currently kind of thin, especially like I just mentioned, the fullback position, or it could be maybe switching things around the midfield. And yeah, I was thinking about like when we had like this conversation with Total Dynamo, and like having Quintero like in the midfield, like as a, like a playmaker or something, really, like I feel like it will benefit the Dynamo a lot. So I do hope at least Quintero gets to start on Wednesday.
So your midfield would be Quintero at the 10, and who behind them?
I'd say either Vera and Boniek, or at least Corona and Boniek.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right. I think we always already see Joe Corona's, like, I think Tab's go-to man in the center midfield, so maybe he won't replace him yet there. And then up top, this one, I guess we can have a little bit more fun there.
Hey guys, so yeah, our audio for some reason cut off. I think Matt Jordan cut out some wires or something, because the audio started buzzing, so we couldn't hear each other. So yeah, we'll go ahead and resume from our predictions for like the starting 11 for the game against Kansas City. And we stopped at the front three, and yeah, I was expecting to see either Bahamic potentially starting, hopefully, like getting some minutes at least in like the second half. But that's just me dreaming. But yeah, I feel like we're just going to see like a different front three for this one, heading into the road game as Colorado.
I don't think it's going to be that different, in my opinion. Like we were saying, you know, we could see Quintero on the wing, but let's just for the fun, let's see Quintero starts at the 10. I was saying maybe Tab plays a winger that can compensate defensively for Darwin not coming back. So maybe we could see Memo on the wing again, kind of same front three again. But let's just say, just for fun, Memo sits this game out, hasn't been the best player in the last two games, and has been playing pretty exhausting game. So let's say we have Fafa start again. It would be logical for another striker to come in, but I think Tab loves a Rudy, so I think we see a Rudy start again, and I think we see Lassiter come in on the wing this game, and maybe give him a solid like 60 minutes to prove himself. But hey, you know, let's hold on to that pipe dream about Mateo Bahamic, because I'd love to see him debut at BBVA.
Oh yeah, for sure. And as for the nine, I feel like Rudy's going to stay, either that or Ramirez is going to start, which is the thing I'm hoping for.
You know, if Rudy doesn't start, I actually think Lassiter starts as striker and not Ramirez. That's my hot take there. I think that, not because I want it to happen, but I predict that's what will happen.
Yeah, that's an interesting hot take. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see that happens. And with that, let's go ahead and switch to the Dash game on Saturday. This is the first game of the season, the actual first game of the season, since the Challenge Cup, it's over. And it was essentially, at least for this year, was essentially their preseason tournament. And they're going to start on the road against Gotham FC. They used to be Sky Blue FC, and they did reach the Endusil Challenge Cup final, the championship game, and they lost against the Portland Thorns. They look pretty much improved compared to last year, obviously with the new rebrand and everything else, but at the same time with a different roster heading into the season, kind of like the Dash are. But I feel like the Dash can get the win here. The Dash are in a pretty good position with the starters back. And yeah, we just have to wait and see to see what comes out of it. I feel like the Dash are going to roll in with the same plan in mind, the same starting lineup like they used against Portland. They might have to make a few adjustments just heading into this one, obviously the first game of the season too, but we just have to wait and see what comes of this one, really.
Yeah, I mean, the game against Gotham will be pretty interesting, because I mean, they took to the Thorns pretty clearly in the championship game and only lost on penalty kicks, so they're gonna be looking for blood. I'm sure our good friend Carly Lloyd is gonna be looking to come back and score on the Dash in this game, because we had such a lovely here in Houston.
Absolutely.
But I think this is the Dash's full season to take advantage of, especially at the beginning. I fully expect them to be at the top of the standings with all of our lineup here. Not on international duty yet, so I'm really excited to see, you know, Rachel Daly, Nichelle, and Jane Campbell, and everything. Everybody do their thing.
Oh yeah, that, and also U.S. Soccer announcing that BBVA Stadium is going to host a couple national team games there this summer before the Olympics. So we might get to see Campbell and Christy Mewes potentially in those games. And
yeah,
and I hope that they earn their spot for the Olympic Games if they do happen, and which most likely will. And yeah, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and switch to the Dynamo game, which is against the Rapids on the road. The Colorado Rapids are no slouch. I feel like they've been improving over the past couple of years, and they, like recently, they did come back from a 2-0 loss, and they did beat Minnesota United 3-2. Obviously, Minnesota not being in a good shape right now, but still, it's pretty interesting to see Colorado coming back from a 2-0 result. And yeah, just looking at the team, really, they have Michael Barrios. You may recognize him from FC Dallas, and obviously Cole Bassett, that being a pretty dangerous piece for them. And another player I like to point out was like just Diego Rubio, not Tony, but the Diego Rubio. And
yeah, my evil Chilean brother.
Yeah, yeah, like,
no, I mean, for sure.
And yeah, like, this is a game that Dynamo have to win. Like, obviously, they have to win all the games since, or the Dynamo Sims we are. And yeah, like, it's going to be extremely tough for them. I feel like the Rapids are pretty, they can trigger a pretty powerful counter.
Yeah, I think this is one of the tougher home road games of the season, obviously because of the altitude. I don't know about the weather per se. I don't know if it's still going to be cold in Denver. And I mean, the Colorado Rapids under Robert Frazier are pretty solid unit. Honestly, their defense has really improved. They got Keegan Rosenberry, Lala Sabubakar, Austin Trusty, Scottish guy, Danny Wilson, I think. He's always a menace off set pieces. And then up-and-coming USMNT player, Sam Vines. So, you know, and who was supposed to be a Dynamo player? William Yarborough. So.
Oh, yeah. Apparently they overpaid for him, but yeah.
Yeah, he's been pretty good for Colorado from what I've seen. You know, he's a Huerito there. He used to play for the U.S. national team too. But I'm more worried about Colorado's attack. Like you said, they have Andre Shinyasiki up there too, who's proven to be pretty dicey to deal with. But I think this will be a midfield battle for the Dynamo, and that's where the game will be won eventually. And I think the chances will be harder to come by in this game for sure. But we're going to need to take whatever small chances we probably do end up getting. But I think definitely, like you pointed out, Michael Barrios is going to be one of the bigger pieces to watch in that game. Because if we're talking about Zarek and Adam getting blazed, and Michael Barrios is definitely going to be one of the guys that will take advantage of those holes.
Oh, yeah. And going back to the fullback situation, I feel like it's another game where if they don't figure this out, and Michael Barrios is going to could have like a field day on Saturday, and that's one of the fears coming into this one for me. And I just hope that they can work that out. Really,
I think this is another game like FC Dallas. I think Tab goes with the three defensive midfielders. I think we see Derek Jones in this game start again with whoever ahead of him, probably Vera and somebody else. But just the way Tab and them were talking about it in their press conferences, essentially the Dynamo know that FC Dallas is going to be targeting the wings in the past game, especially with our fullback situation. And that's why they played three defensive midfielders to help, you know, break that up. So I definitely see the same thing happening with Colorado, because their wingers, you know, Yunus Namli, Michael Barrios, all these guys, and especially their fullbacks getting into there, especially Sam Vines. I think we're going to see a similar FC Dallas situation, but the question will be if the Dynamo can pick up the slack in the attack this game.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to go ahead and close this episode. It's been a fun one. Like, obviously, we finally got to talk about the Dynamo only playing one game and not the Dash. But this week, heading into next week, is going to be interesting, since we're going to have to review all the three games. And, well, really, we just have to see how the Dynamo do in the rotation heading into that one. And before we go... Before we go, do you have like any Dynamo Lone Army updates, Tony?
No, both Marcelo Palomino had a bye week for the Charlotte Independence, and the Charleston Battery, I believe, did make their debut for USL this week. But Eric McHugh was not anywhere to be found. He was not on the bench. He was not in the starting lineup. And from what I understand from the small information I've taken from Charleston Battery fans, is that he should be in contention to start for this team. So maybe he's dealing with an early injury. Hopefully it's nothing serious. We'll try to look into that, see if there's going to be an update for next week. But I did see right now that they released the injury report for the coming game against Kansas City. It looks like Tim Mealy is no longer in the Kansas City injury report. So that'll be interesting if he makes his first appearance of the season against the Dynamo. And it looks like Roberto Puncic and Nicolas Ismat Mirin are out for Kansas City. So I think that's their two starting center backs, honestly. And then homegrown Felipe Hernandez, the center midfielder, out. But we'll see if that's true. And then for the Dynamo, Ethan Bartlow still listed as out, but I did see him in the training pictures. So he could be still out with concussion, but it's at least promising to start seeing him in training. And then questionable still listed Tyler Pascher, but from what we understand, Sam Junkwa should also be listed there.
Yep. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 6. It's been a fun one, but we hope to have a better episode 7, jam-packed with all the games to review. And yeah, guys, stay noodle.
Stay noodle, boys and girls.
Yay.